On social media, national news, and local shows like this one, you've probably seen or heard about the latest internet craze, eating laundry detergent pods.
If you haven't heard of the Tide Pod Challenge, it's pretty simple. Teens video themselves eating laundry detergent, then post it online. Yeah, welcome to 2018.
The Tide Pod Challenge is definitely weird, but more importantly, it is actually very, very dangerous. The Georgia Center for Poison Control says it's confirmed at least one case of a pod making a teen very sick. Dozens have been hospitalized across the country for doing this. Yes, the phenomenon of kids doing dumb things significantly predates the phenomenon of the internet, but are we seeing something new here, a new kind of dumb danger? Joining me to talk about this whole Tide Pod Challenge thing, where it came from, what it says about the internet and its users, it's Jay Hathaway, senior writer at The Daily Dot. Jay, when you got into journalism, do you think you'd ever be on the Tide Pod beat?
I did not. I didn't see this one coming, which is funny because Tide Pods have been around for several years and people
Indeed.
Have been eating them for several years. So,
oh, Lordy. Well, we'll talk about where it's all coming from. Also with us to subject this trend to the scientific scrutiny that it so deserves is Catherine O'Neill, assistant research scientist at the University of Georgia's College of Family and Consumer Sciences. Hi, Catherine.
Hey, Adam. Thanks for having me.
Sure. So, Jay, as far as you have been able to trace the origins of this trend, where is it coming from?
Well, so Tide Pods were first launched back in 2012, and people were accidentally eating them way back then. That kind of turned into a joke. The Onion had a piece in 2015 called "So Help Me God, I'm Going to Eat One of Those Multicolored Detergent Pods." And they did another one mid-2017. So this has kind of been, you know, professional humorists have been joking about this for as long as Tide Pods have been around.
How do you reckon one accidentally eats a Tide Pod? Does it sort of look like candy?
Oh, it absolutely looks like candy. And, you know, consumer advocates have pointed this out for a long time. Tide had to change the packaging, like, just months after Tide Pods came out so that you couldn't see through the box to the little candy-looking detergent pods inside, because kids were already mistaking them. Young kids were already mistaking them for candy.
Okay. So the question, well, one question here is, does Tide have any corporate responsibility for all of this? They have put out a PSA featuring who, of course, Rob Gronkowski, Gronk of the New England Patriots. Let's listen.
No, 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 no. What the heck is going on, people? Use Tide Pods for washing, not eating. Do not eat.
Jay, how do you reckon Tide has responded to all of this?
So the CEO of Procter & Gamble, the Tide parent company, wrote a blog post. It basically blamed teens and parents for eating Tide Pods. He said, you know, we've tried everything. We've taken the Tide Pod Challenge videos down from YouTube. We did this PSA with Gronk. And even with the most stringent standards and protocols, labels and warnings, you know, they're still eating them. But, you know, the thing that he left out is they still look like candy.
Catherine O'Neill with the University of Georgia's College of Family and Consumer Sciences. As a scientist of human behavior, what interests you about this phenomenon?
Well, I think it's clearly just an overall interesting phenomenon, just because it is one that makes you almost scratch your head and wonder what's really going on here. But, you know, I think we couch this like thinking through it from a cognitive development standpoint. And we think about, we know that the frontal lobe of the brain isn't yet developed for adolescence. And we know that that's important because the frontal lobe is responsible for these executive functions that allow them to plan and have impulse control. And so this allows them to make good judgments, you know, think like what is right and wrong and what's harmful and helpful. And while that seems really intuitive, and it's something that adolescents really can do on many occasions, but occasionally they have those lapses where they don't use those skills or they really can't because they don't have that rational part of their brain fully developed yet. And so instead they use the amygdala, which is like the emotional part of their brain. And so it's really all about like what's novel, that is what's new, and what's an increased risk. Like that's what's fun. That's what excites them. So I think that's where it fits into, you know, like the Tide Pod Challenge. You know, if you think back to what you were just saying about you know, what can Tide do, what do they need to do? I don't think for adolescents it doesn't hinge on, oh, I just want to eat this because it looks like candy. I think it goes back to that the lack of impulse control and I'm doing it because of the larger Tide Pod challenge, not necessarily because it looks like candy.
Yeah, yeah. So important to understand that kids don't just do dumb things out of lack of experience. It's in their hardwiring. Jay, do you think that the internet has uniquely enabled this problem? Is this something that could have happened prior to the internet age?
I mean, I suppose it could have, but the internet has definitely accelerated it. It became a joke because of social media, and the joke being, hey, these laundry detergent pods look like candy, but they're actually poisonous. And, kids have like a pretty well-developed sense of irony, and they picked up on that pretty quickly. And, because of that joke, Tide Pods became popular. And then it sort of spun into this big media thing about the Tide Pod challenge. So, I think without the internet, I don't think it would have happened nearly as fast.
Catherine, same question to you.
Yeah, well, I think that's the media component actually plays into the second part of adolescent development that's important here, which is like the social development. And we know that adolescence is a time where they really shift from thinking about, parents and their family as the center of their interactions versus they're all about their peers and what do their peers think of them. And I think social media really gives them the platform to get immediate feedback in a lot of sense from their peers. They post this Tide Pod challenge, they get likes, they get shares, they get comments. And so I think that need for acceptance from peers is much easier to get through social media in the sense of these types of challenges. So, could it exist without social media? Sure, I think it could. Like, would it have the ammunition? Would it have the amplification that it has? Likely not.
We're talking about the Tide Pod Challenge and other potentially dangerous internet memes and the risky behaviors that they can lead to. Poison control officials in Georgia say they've dealt with at least one case of a kid eating a Tide Pod and getting sick as a result. Lots and lots of other kids across the country have gotten very seriously sick eating these little laundry detergent pods that look like candy and about which people are daring them to eat. Talking to Catherine O'Neill, assistant research scientist at UGA's College of Family and Consumer Sciences. Also with us, Jay Hathaway, senior writer at The Daily Dot. We were talking some folks on the street about what they make of this phenomenon. Here is Arthur from Decatur, Georgia.
I haven't personally eaten any Tide Pods, so I haven't faced the wrath of it, so it's kind of funny, yeah, but don't eat Tide Pods. That's not funny.
No, it's not funny. And here for me is the biggest question of the segment, Jay. Are we in the media actually causing the problem by talking about it?
To some extent, yeah. I mean, the Tide Pod thing started out as a joke. Kids didn't actually think eating Tide Pods was cool. They were just joking about how, here's this product that's poisonous but looks like candy, and that's really funny to us. Finally someone decided to go ahead and eat one. And whenever one or two kids do something stupid, it gets reported as a challenge. There have been a lot of sort of fake internet challenges, like the hot water challenge wasn't a real thing, but there were dozens of news stories about it. Once the news says it's a challenge, then there's another group of kids that thinks that that's a real thing, and it kind of snowballs from there.
Right. And this is a relatively innocuous phenomenon like this. Obviously, it can really hurt people, but there is a slightly lighter side to all of this. This is a phenomenon that we see documented with very, very serious things as well. Things like suicide, when it gets reported by the media, can lead to other people choosing suicide. Mass shooting, identifying mass shooters. Some scientific research has indicated that can inspire other mass shooters to do terrible things. The question, Catherine, for us people like Jay and myself is, how can we responsibly report on these trends and let people know that this dangerous thing is happening without becoming part of the spiral of the problem?
Well, I mean, so for me, I think, yes, there is some research that exposure or hearing about mass shootings can prompt a mass shooting. I think you don't see that happening in someone who doesn't already have some degree of inclination towards, being a mass shooter or being someone who does impulsive things. So for me, I think context is important. We always have to consider not just that one single event, like media, is going to cause something. There's a lot of contextual factors that go into any behavior that occurs. And so I think in general the media does a relatively well job. I'm sure some sources better than others, of reporting both the positives and the negatives and being upfront about what is occurring and why it's occurring, and not over sensationalizing things. And so for me, I think as long as that continues, it's not so much what can the media do above and beyond that. It's what can parents and adults and others around do to, you know, further the education. So specifically about the Tide Pod Challenge, talking to their youth and trying to encourage not just don't eat Tide Pods, but just in general, like the trying to steer them away towards these impulsive behaviors.
Indeed. And as a closing thought here, what advice would you give to parents, Catherine? I think some of them are probably worried that if they tell their children not to eat a Tide Pod, that might have the opposite effect.
Oh, that's a really good point. You know, I've actually interacted with a lot of teenagers in the last 2 weeks since I found out I was going to be on the show trying. And so I've asked them, like, why would you guys do this? And they just kind of look at me like I'm stupid for even having to ask why they would do that. So I don't really know that I have the answer. But I think it's more about, I've been asking myself this question, what could I do for my own kids? And I think one thing that I can do that I would encourage parents to do is to try and encourage adolescents to see the fragile nature of life, and that things that can be dangerous really do have the long-term consequences. I know adolescents aren't wired to see things that way. They lack the life experiences. That's a good thing. They haven't been exposed often to a lot of the negative events that make us, you know, fragile and timid about the dangers that exist in this world. But I think as long as we can help hopefully guide them towards a true sense of that and encourage them to make good choices. Always telling them, I tell my five-year-old, just make good choices, you know, be kind, be loving, and think about, you know, being helpful both to your own self and to others around you. So I think as long as we can continue those conversations, we're really on the right track.
It's Catherine O'Neill, Assistant Research Scientist at UGA's College of Family and Consumer Sciences. We were also joined by Jay Hathaway, Senior Writer at The Daily Dot. Thanks to you both.